Hello and welcome back to That Haunted Show. I hope we are keeping well. I hope you're basically still around. I know it's been a while since the last episode. We are now sticking to a kind of bi-weekly, every episode, every fortnight. It's basically just, it's easier, and for some reason we are getting more listens than ever. And that's the part I really don't quite understand. maybe it's just because it's less frequent and maybe each post kind of gets noticed more. I don't know. It's really weird. I'm still trying to look into it and understand it. Really bizarre. I hope we are all keeping well. If you do enjoy the show, as always, give us a follow on our socials. We are That Haunted Show pretty much everywhere you can think of. Also, I'm really back into gaming as well at the moment, so if you want to add me on PlayStation, it is That Haunted Show, just saying. I am back and really into COD, and I need some people to play with, so definitely do that, it will be fun. But today is going to be a fun one. We're going back to a kind of research-based episode. This one is going to be based on somewhere quite interesting. So today we are going to be looking at one of... Well, actually, definitely one of the most haunted places going. It is an extremely interesting place. I'm not sure how this has escaped like my radar for so long, as it's had so much activity. But yeah, it's just kind of flown under the radar for so long now. I first kind of came across this place while doing the usual binging of watching Ghost Adventures and drinking enough coffee to OD any normal human being, so today's episode is going to be based on the Eastern State Penitentiary, which, for the sake of this episode, I am going to abbreviate it to ESP, because I'm going to have to say it more than I'm comfortable with, right? The amount of times I have to say this just pisses me off, so whenever I say ESP, you know what I'm saying. Now, of course, it is a penitentiary, which from an activity standpoint alone, generally tends to be full of negative energy, of just people who are locked up in horrific conditions with facing no chance of leave. ESP is located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which actually kind of unrelated, but I have a really interesting episode coming up. It's about a forest in Transylvania that has some extremely weird phenomena going on, like really weird. UFOs, spirits, portals, all kinds of crazy stuff, like you name it, this place has got it. So yeah, keep tuned for that. Also, that reminds me, wherever you listen, I kind of forget about this and didn't realize you could actually do it. you can press like the bell icon like YouTube and you kind of get notified when an episode goes out. So typically I post on a Sunday evening, GMT time, so that's like 6 p.m. GMT on a Sunday. Because the releases are going to be a bit more sporadic, so, like I said, bi-weekly, yeah, just ring that bell and you'll get a notification and it'll tell you when each new episode is out. Fun little fact, you learn something new every day. I didn't realise, and yeah, like loads of podcasts I listen to on Spotify, I've just rung the bell. And also, you can rate on Spotify now, which is really good. You could literally just click, like, it's out 5 stars, you don't need to write anything, you could just, yeah, give it a star rating. Also, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, a review on there is really helpful to me. But that's enough begging from me. The Eastern State Penitentiary was operational from way back in 1829 all the way through to 1971, somehow. The penitentiary refined the revolutionary system of separate incarceration first pioneered at the Walnut Street Jail, which emphasized principles of reform rather than just punishment. Notorious criminals such as Al Capone and bank robber Willie Sutton were held inside its innovative wagon wheel design. James Bruno, aka Big Joe, nice, and several male relatives were incarcerated here between 1936 and 1948 for their alleged murders in the Claire's Massacre of 1934, before they were paroled. At its completion, the building was the largest and most expensive public structure ever erected in the United States. And it quickly became a model for more than 300 prisons worldwide. The prison is currently a National Historic Landmark, which is open to the public as a museum for tours 7 days a week, 12 months a year, 10 to 5 p.m. Just a little plug for them. If they get any sales, set me up, please. The prison was designed by a man named John Haviland and was opened on a cold fall day in 1829. It is often cited as being the world's first true penitentiary. ESP was a revolutionary system of incarceration, dubbed the Pennsylvania system or separa system. It encouraged separate confinement as a form of rehabilitation. The warden was legally required to visit every inmate every day, and the overseers were mandated to see each inmate 3 times a day. The Pennsylvania system was opposed by the Auburn system, also known as the New York system, which held that prisoners should be forced to work together in silence, and could be subjected to physical punishment. Sing Sing prison was an example of the Auburn system. Although the Auburn system was favoured in the US, Eastern States' radial floor plan and system of solitary confinement was a model for over 300 prisons worldwide. Originally, inmates were housed in cells that only could be accessed by entering a small exercise yard attached to the back of the prison. Only a small portal, just large enough to pass through mills, opened onto the cell blocks. This design proved impractical. And in the middle of construction, cells were constructed that allowed prisoners to enter and leave the cell blocks through metal doors that were covered by a heavy wooden door to filter out noise. The halls were designed to have the feel of a church. Some believed that the doors were so small, prisoners would have a harder time getting out, minimizing an attack on an officer. Others have explained the small doors forced the prisoners to bow while entering their cells. This design is related to the penance and it ties the religious inspiration of the prison. The cells were made of concrete with a single glass skylight, representing the eye of God, suggesting to prisoners that God was always watching them. Outside the cell was an individual area for exercise enclosed by high walls so prisoners could not communicate. Exercise time for each prisoner was not synchronized, so no 2 prisoners next to each other would be able to get out at the same time. Prisoners were allowed to a garden and even kept pets in the exercise yards. When a prisoner left his cell, an accompanying guard would wrap a hood over his head to prevent him from being recognized by the other prisoners. Cell accommodations were advanced for the time, including a faucet with running water over a flush toilet, as well as curved pipes along part of one wall which served as central heating during the winter months, where hot water would be circulated through the pipes to keep the cells reasonably heated. Toilets were remotely flushed twice a week by the guards on the cell block. Twice a week. That's a bit grim. Imagine the smell of just twice a week. Yeah. Grim. One of the 2-story cell blocks in ESP. The original design of the building was for 7 1-story cell blocks, but by the time cell block 3 was completed, the prison was already over capacity. All subsequent cell blocks had 2 floors. Towards the end, cell blocks 14 and 15 were so hastily built due to overcrowding. They were built and designed by the prisoners. Cell block 15 was for the worst behaved prisoners, and the guards were gated off from there entirely. Inmates were punished with the individual treatment system. At this time, this form of punishment was thought to be the most effective. They would be separated from the others. In 1924, Pennsylvania Governor Gifford Pinchot allegedly sentenced allegedly sentenced Pep, which is the cat murdering dog. It was an actual dog. So this dog got sentenced to a life sentence at Eastern State. Pep the dog allegedly murdered the governor's wife's cherished cat. Prison records reflect that Pep was assigned an inmate number. And just if you're curious, his number was C2559, which is seen in his mugshot. He even got a mugshot. However, the reason for Pep's incarceration remains a subject of some debate. A contemporary newspaper article reported that the governor donated his own dog to the prison to increase inmate morale. What the shit? You couldn't make this stuff up, could you? On April 3rd, 1945, a major escape was carried out by 12 inmates, including the infamous Willie Sutton, who, over the course of a year, managed to dig an undiscovered 97-foot, now that's 30 metres, tunnel under the prison wall. During the renovations in 1930s, an additional 30 incomplete inmate dug tunnels were also discovered. Jesus, now that's some serious Great Escape shit. It was designated a National Historic Landmark in 1965. The prison was closed in 1971. Many prisoners and guards were transferred to Greatford Prison, about 31 miles northwest of Eastern State. The city of Philadelphia purchased the property with the intention of redeveloping it. The site has had several proposals, including a mall and a luxury apartment complex surrounded by the old prison walls. During the abandoned era from closing until the late 80s, a forest grew in the cell blocks and outside the walls. The prison also became home to many stray cats. In 1988, the Eastern State Penitentiary Task Force successfully petitioned Mayor Wilson Good to halt redevelopment. In 1994, Eastern State opened to the public for historic tours. The solitary confinement system eventually collapsed due to overcrowding problems. By 1913, ESP officially abandoned the solitary system and was operated as a congregate prison until it closed in 1970. The prison was one of the largest public work projects of the early republic and was a tourist destination in the 19th century. Notable visitors included Charles Dickens and Alex de Tocqueville, which notable inmates included Willie Sutton and Al Capone in 1929. Visitors spoke with prisoners in their cells, proving the inmates were not isolated, though the prisoners themselves were not allowed to have any visits with family or friends during their stay. Most of the early prisoners were petty criminals incarcerated with various robbery and theft charges. Muggers, pickpockets, purse snatchers, burglars, etc. And the first-time offenders often served just 2 years. The penitentiary was intended not simply to punish, but to move the criminal towards spiritual reflection and finally change. While some have argued that the Pennsylvania system was Quaker-inspired, there is little evidence to support this. The organization that promoted Eastern State's creation, the Society for Alleviating the Miseries of Public Prisons, today's Pennsylvania Prison Society, was less than half Quaker, and was led for nearly 50 years by Philadelphia's Anglican Bishop, William White. Proponents of the system believe strongly that the criminal was exposed in silence to their thoughts of their behavior and the ugliness of their crimes, would genuinely become penitent. Oh, there you go. Penitent penitentiary. It all makes sense. In reality, the guards and counselors of the facility designed a variety of physical and psychological torture regimes for various infractions, including dousing prisoners in freezing water outside during winter months, chaining their tongues to their wrists in a fashion such that struggling against the chains would cause their tongue to tear, strapping prisoners into chairs with tight leather restraints for days on end, and putting the worst behaved prisoners in a pit called the Hole, an underground cell block dug under cell block 14 where they would have no light, no human contact, and little food for as long as 2 weeks. Cy Greatford opened in the 1920s after disturbances occurred at Eastern State. The Pennsylvania Prison Board opened Greatford to assume functions previously held by Eastern State. Prior to its closing in late 1969, ESP, then known as the State Correctional Institution, Philadelphia, had established a far-reaching program of group therapy, with the goal of having all inmates involved. From 1967, when the plan was first initiated, the program appears to have been moderately successful, as many inmates were involved in groups which were voluntary. An interesting aspect was that the groups were led by two therapists, one from the psych or social staff, and the second from prison officer staff. But that's enough of the facts and figures about the building, so we know what it is, when it was active, and what famous inmates attended the prison, as well as what types of general prisoners they had. Now, let's have a look why it is a favourite amongst ghost hunters and paranormal investigators alike. The site plays on the fact it's supposedly haunted extremely well by curating tours nearing Halloween, such as Terror Behind the Walls, which is an annual haunted house Halloween event run by the Eastern State Penitentiary Historic Site. The first Halloween fundraiser took place on Halloween weekend in 1991. The early events took on various forms, including a short theatrical performance and true tales of prison murder and violence. In 1997, the event was rebranded as Terror Behind the Walls, becoming a high-startle, low-gore walkthrough of the haunted attraction. In 2001, it was broken up into three separate, smaller haunted attractions, now including a 3D haunted house. At the time, it was only the 3D haunted house in the southeastern Pennsylvania, which was one of the first in the United States. In 2003, four semi-permanent haunted attractions were constructed inside the penitentiary complex. The 2014 event included six attractions: Lockdown, The Machine Shop, Detrius, Infirmary, The Experiment, and The Night Watch. The 2016 event also included six attractions: Lockdown, The Uprising, The Machine Shop, Breakout, Detrius, Infirmary, and Quarantine 4D. The haunted attraction Blood Yard was also added in 2017. With the building's gothic exterior of high looming stone walls, decaying corridors and festering cells that once held thousands of the most dangerous criminals on earth, it's hard to disagree that ESP definitely does seem quite haunted. Its torturous 140 plus years of history is full of madness, disease, murder, torture, and even suicides. It does make it easy to imagine that the spirits of these angered souls would still linger around the premises. The brutal punishment used on these prisoners are enough to make you get a cold chill just thinking about it. For example, a favourite punishment by the guards was called the bath. Although that doesn't sound too bad, it's actually pretty grim. They were dunked in this bath, so just covered and soaking wet. Then they were hung out on the wall in the winter. Shit. Until ice formed and covered their whole bodies, and then taken down and put back in their cells. Jesus Christ, could you imagine that? Literally having ice form over you and then chuck you back inside. Oof. This must have killed a lot of people. I wonder if there's any records of, well, there probably is, they probably just don't declare it. If there's any torture deaths in a prison, I'm presuming they're not going to declare it, right? The Mad Chair, which bound an inmate so tightly that circulation was cut off, later necessitating amputation. Fuck. Shit, so they bound you to a chair so tightly that your circulation went just so they could amputate you. God, this place sounds messed up. No wonder it's haunted. The iron gag, in which an inmate's hands were tied behind their back and strapped to an iron collar in their mouth so that any movement caused their tongue to tear and bleed profusely. And the hole, a dank underground cell where unfortunate souls had no light, no human contact, no exercise, no toilet, and barely any food or air. Cell block 12 is known for echoing voices and cackling. Number 6 is known for shadowy figures darting along the walls, and 4 for visions of ghostly faces. Many people have reported seeing a silhouette of a guard in one of the towers. Footsteps, wails, whispers, the same stories over and over again. One of the most legendary tales, though, comes from a man named Gary Johnson, who helps maintain the crumbling old locks at the prison. In the early 1990s, he had just opened the old lock in cell block 4, when he says a force gripped him so tightly he was unable to move. He described an extremely negative, horrible energy that exploded out of the cell. He said tormented faces appeared to him on the cell walls, and there was one form in particular that beckoned to him. If you were to step inside one of these decrepit halls, you would be greeted with ice-cold chills, as well as the sounds of disembodied voices screaming out into the distance as if they're still being tortured, even in the afterlife. There is also a lot of photographic evidence that people have been taken, including capturing orbs of light seemingly manifesting out of nowhere and then completely disappearing just as quickly. Footsteps and slamming of doors often accompany them too. Depending on how well you take it, you could be extremely lucky and actually hear someone calling out your name from a distant corridor, leading you to a completely empty cell, after the seething feeling of embarrassment that this ghost has just played a trick on you. It then proceeds to tap you on the shoulder, followed by footsteps leading away. Now, if that isn't strange enough for you, a lot of people have experienced a strange type of sickness after visiting Eastern State. Known as the Eastern State Penitentiary Curse, people have frequently fallen ill while visiting this place, and it's unknown why. It's said it creates flu-like symptoms that seem to go on for weeks. And one of the weirdest facts that really caught my attention is that there is ample reports of witnesses seeing a guard tower in the middle of the penitentiary. Yet, there is no tower anymore. They can even see it helmed by a guard looking around. And the tower has not been there for decades. Now, I've heard of small things appearing, or spectres, or you hear the typical story of like a ghost car or a ghost ship, but I've never heard of buildings appearing. Like a whole building seemingly manifesting it and then disappearing just as quick. That's strange, because that will take a bizarre and huge amount of energy just to accomplish, right? I'm not quite sure how that would even happen. Like, Jesus, I know the kind of spirits. Typically, the whole kind of theory is that spirits manifest energy, and then of course if there is a load of negative energy, like being tortured to death, they can manifest themselves or manifest sounds, but I don't know how, I presume maybe the old tower held a lot of energy in its lifetime as it was knocked out. It's just a theory, but I have got no idea. That does sound terrifying though. Although in saying that, was it Pavalia Island that the bell tower, the bell tower is there, yet no one's allowed on the island, but I think the whole premise was the bell rings from time to time and no one quite understands why. There you go. I may have got that wrong, but hey, if I'm wrong, go back and check episode 2, I think, which was Pavalia Island. I'm trying to think. I think it was episode 2. Yeah, the first one was the Winchester Mystery House. Now, while I was researching this episode, I have found like just countless videos and clips of independent researchers, as well as, you know, the large well-known groups showing off their evidence that they have captured. It really seems that there is a lot of strange activity, and somehow they're all experiencing very similar, if not the same events, in the same places within the penitentiary. To me, that only just solidifies the fact that they are seeing something for sure. And the place is, in fact, extremely haunted. Now, I've also found one more article with accompanying pictures that I'm going to go through and kind of relay them out to you, because it is actually really interesting. So, I should probably quote this place. This is mentalfloss.com, and the title is 17 Spooky Photos of Philadelphia's Eastern State Penitentiary by Erin McCarthy. Don't sue. Also, there is a good episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved, just going to throw that out there, which covered Eastern State, and more specifically, just on the spirits that kind of reside there. I definitely recommend watching that. I mean, it's the best thing to come out of BuzzFeed, you know what's good. So, in the 18th century, Philadelphia's prisons were just an overcrowded mess. Adults, children, men and women were kept in what amounted to large holding pens, left to just their own devices. Abuse by fellow inmates and guards was so rampant that in 1787, members of the Philadelphia Society for Alleviating the Miseries of Public Prisons, now that's a fucking long name, met at Benjamin Franklin's house to discuss an alternative. In his remarks that night, Benjamin Rush, a prominent doctor in the city, called for a house of repentance, which would eventually become Eastern State. Now, this is a quote by Benjamin Rush. Let a large house be erected in a convenient part of the state. Let it be divided into a number of apartments, reserving one large room for public worship. Let cells be provided for by solitary confinement. Such persons are of refractory temper. Let the house be supplied with materials and instruments for carrying on such manufactures as can be conducted with the least instruction. Let a garden adjoin the house, in which culprits may occasionally walk and work. This spot will be beneficial, and not only upon health but for morals, for it will lead them all to a familiarity with those pure and natural objects, which are calculated to renew the connection of fallen man with his creator. Now, there's a reason it's called a penitentiary and not a prison. Rush was so adamant about this. Let the name of this house convey an idea of its benevolent and salutary design, but let it by no means be called a prison, or by any other name that which is associated with what is infamous in the opinion of mankind. He said in 1787, instead, this new facility would be called a penitentiary, because it was designed to create penitence in the criminals imprisoned within its walls. Built around solitary confinement that would allow a criminal to meditate on his crimes. No corporal punishment here. It was later dubbed the Pennsylvania System. As we all know, because we're all remembering this shit. So we know the place was designed by John Haviland. He was a British architect, and he was chosen for his potential plans. He received $100. Haviland's design called for 7 single-level cell blocks that radiated out from a central surveillance rotunda. One guard could see down all the cell blocks just by turning his head. The facility would have a capacity of 250 prisoners. The building's imposing facade was meant to intimidate, though its battlements were fake, as were the facade's windows, which don't even penetrate the interior, while its interiors took cues from churches. At one stage, the Eastern State Penitentiary had more amenities than the White House. Each cell had central heating, a flush toilet and running water, a skylight and a private exercise yard. President Andrew Jackson at the time had to make do from heat from coal-burning stoves. In a given day, a prisoner would have the light of God to do his work, like shoemaking or weaving, a Bible, and a lot of time to think about what he had done, which Eastern State's creators hoped would lead to penitence and reformation. Eastern State welcomed its first prisoner in 1829, 7 years before the prison was actually finished. Charles Williams, prisoner number 1, was imprisoned for burglary. He was described as having light black skin, 5 foot 7 inches tall, and 11 inch foot size, scar on the nose, scar on the thigh, broad mouth, black eyes. Williams, a farmer, could read according to his intake documents. Theft included one $20 watch, $1 gold seal, and a gold key. Sentenced to 2 years confinement with labour. So, the reformers really believed that no good can come from inmates mingling within the prison, or continuing those friendships in the real world. So, legislation was passed decreeing that the principle of solitary confinement of the prisoners must be preserved and maintained. To keep the inmates from communicating during trips outside the cells, they were forced to wear masks, which ensured that inmates could never see any of the prison except for their own cells, so they wouldn't be able to escape. The private exercise yards attached to each cell ensured the inmates wouldn't be able to interact with each other in their 1 hour of outdoor time a day, and also minimise interactions with the guards. Eastern State was actually extremely pricey for the time. It cost around $780,000, which is currently sitting around about $20 million today. It's believed it was the second only to the US Capitol in expense. But 5 years after the original building was open and designed, it became clear the Eastern State would have to hold more criminals. So, starting with cell block 4, all the new buildings had to have 2 floors. Cell blocks were added between the original buildings in 1870 and 1890. Mirrors were strategically placed so the guards could see down the new cell blocks from the rotunda. There were no individual exercise yards anymore. So inmates now exercise together, wearing masks with eye holes, but in silence. That just sounds terrible, right? So the whole premise of this place was solitary to reform and be penitent, and now they're like, oh shit, need more money, get more people. So they exercise with each other, but now it's got to be in silence, and they've got masks with eye holes, which ruins the purpose of said mask, right? But what do I know? By the 1920s, 2 or 3 men were now living in one cell, and the prison was much more a social affair. The original design actually called for 256 cells. By the time the final block was actually built, there was 980 cells. In Eastern State's early years, though, a typical sentence was actually only 2 years. Sentences rarely exceeded past 8 years, and no one served life there. And prisoners sentenced to die were imprisoned just somewhere elsewhere. But by the 20th century, the idea of solitary confinement creating penitence had long been since abandoned. And the most violent prisoners, as well as those sentenced to be executed, were housed in cell block 15, which opened in 1959. It was the last cell block to be built, and the only one with electric doors. No executions ever took place at Eastern State. I mean, they didn't need to have any executions there, from judging from what we've heard about the tortures there. I don't think they actually needed them. In 1831, French aristocrat and historian Alexis de Tocqueville and a prison reformer Gustave de Beaumont visited the prison, writing back to the French government that, thrown into solitude, the prisoner reflects, placed alone in a view of his crime. He learns to hate it, and if his soul could be not yet suffited with his crimes, and thus will have lost all taste for anything better. It is solitude where remorse will come to assail him. Can there be a combination more powerful for reformation than that of a prison which hands over the prisoner to take all the trials of solitude? It leads him through reflection, then to remorse, through religion, and then hope, makes him industrious by the burden of idleness. Eastern State's design would inspire some 320 plus prisons around the world, some of which were in use up until the Second World War. Not everyone was a fan of Eastern State. When Charles Dickens visited Eastern State, he really was not a fan. He did not like what he saw. And this is a quote by Charles. It sounds weird to say this is a quote by Charles. This is a quote by Charles Dickens. In its intention, I'm well convinced that it is a kind, humane, and meant for reformation. But I am persuaded that those who design the system of prison discipline, and those benevolent gentlemen who carry it into execution, do not know what it is that they are doing. He wrote in his journal, "I hold this slow and daily tampering with the mysteries of the brain to be immeasurably worse than any torture of the body, and because its ghastly sighs and tokens are not so palpable to the eye, and it extorts few cries that human ears can hear. Therefore, I the more denounce it, as a secret punishment in which slambering humanity is not roused up to say." He then went on to call the system rigid, strict, and hopeless. Solitary confinement, and I believe in its effects, to be cruel and wrong. The Pennsylvania system of around-the-clock solitary confinement was eventually abandoned in 1913. But a far less pleasant solitary confinement, not intended for penitence but for punishment, would be incorporated against the prison crew, as the prison grew in the form of windowless subterranean cells called the Klondike. Eastern State itself actually held a lot of prisoners during its time. Between when it opened in the 1800s to when it closed in 1971, roughly around 75,000 men and women all served time in Eastern State, facing all kinds of attacks from inmates, from guards. It had so much going on that this place was just truly... it kind of sounds blatant to say it isn't a nice place and was truly evil, because it is a prison. But to have someone be in solitary for so long, I can only imagine how much that would scramble someone's mind. I would just genuinely lose my mind if I was in solitary that long. I don't know if it would make me kind of become penitent. I think if anything, it's just going to make me... it's just going to annoy me even more. So, coming to the end of this episode, the Eastern State was almost knocked down too. It was named a National Historic Landmark in 1965, but in 1980, the city of Philadelphia purchased the property from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for just $400,000, with the intention of developing it, possibly as a criminal justice centre. But in 1988, a task force successfully petitioned the city to stop pursuing the development. And in 1944 and in 1994, the Pennsylvania Prison Society opened the prison for tours. Now, more than 200,000 people visit Eastern State every year. So the place is now just famous. And not for just its infamy. I mean, even Tina Turner filmed her music video, One of the Living, at Eastern State, portions of Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys, and even, I think the latest thing on here, this isn't not chronological order, even Michael Bay's Transformers Revenge of the Fallen was also shot there. So there you go, Eastern State is a creepy place. It is an extremely creepy place, just full of people who are tortured to just the worst ways possible. So you could have been in there in solitary confinement, just losing your mind. The only human contact you're going to be getting is that of the guards, who are literally, their whole purpose is to keep you in check. And yeah, fuck. So yeah, if you just think about that for a second now, your only contact with people is pretty much to be fed and tortured. That has only got to cause some issues that I can't even imagine. This place truly does sound terrifying, and it's no wonder there is so much activity there. All that hostile, negative energy, I'm surprised it hasn't opened up some kind of portal straight to hell and having all kinds of things appear. Because surely, if a place was that full of energy, it only makes sense that it's still there. And now the fact it is infamous, and having, 200,000 people visit, it's only going to build up to that. If more people are visiting, and the commonplace of having smartphones and cameras and everything, you're going to pick up on some serious things there. I think a lot of people, if you were more open to it, you would pick up on a lot more things. Just generally everywhere, I think. And I'm not saying that you need all this specialist equipment, because I really personally don't believe in it. I think if you take a picture and capture something, you've captured something. You don't need this whole full spectrum cameras. I mean, it might help, I don't know, but I think just a general camera and a microphone. I've picked up on some weird things, sometimes even recording. And I haven't noticed it at the time, and it's only when I go back and start editing that you actually hear things on the mic. It seems, especially with them being electronics, it seems that energies and spirits can really kind of manifest themselves better with electronics. That's why it seems so commonplace when lights start flickering and all kind of things like that, that I kind of am skeptical in a way, but it's tough because it's easy to do. Well, what I believe it's easy to do, because of course electricity is energy. But then again, electricity can have issues. Lights flicker in a perfectly normal fashion, but sometimes there's a supernatural fashion to it. But that is going to be the end of the episode. I hope you have enjoyed it. If you have, please leave us a like, comment wherever you listen. I don't know. Please leave us a review wherever you listen. Like us, subscribe to the show. Click that notification bell, like I said, because then you'll be notified as soon as this episode goes live, wherever you are. And we are pretty much on every kind of podcasting platform there is. I mean, I literally just use Spotify all the time myself. I think there's one podcast I listen to on Apple Podcasts, but it's pretty much all Spotify, just because that's what I use for my music and it's just easier for me. But wherever you listen, thank you very much. I hope you are enjoying, and I hope the show continues to grow, because although I'm taking some time between episodes, I am really enjoying it, and I don't want it to go anywhere. So, as always, stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.